How's it going, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
Just a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media people who bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Somehow we made it, you know.
And today is Tuesday, which means it's Twitter Tuesday every single Monday because we record the show a day ahead of time. Chuck puts out a little prompt on Twitter. Go ahead, send those questions over to @LockedOnClips. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much to everyone who sent those questions in ahead of time.
Appreciate it.
And then there was some more availability today for Media Week. We heard from Terrence Mann, as well as Ty Lue, as well as Lou Will. So we're going to be talking about that. And then in Shavings, which is where we wrap up all the loose ends around the NBA and the Clippers sphere, there's some new resting policy things that we got to talk about. It could be beneficial for, I mean, really a lot of players in the league.
Yeah. But people need to rest.
Yes, but especially the Clippers. Also, money is coming out of thin air, which, you know, I love, and just some other great stuff. So stay tuned for all of that and more coming up right about now.
Yes. Welcome to Twitter Tuesday. Again, thank you to everyone who submitted questions at Locked On Clips. You can send those in on Monday or any day of the week. We'll go back and forth. We'll shoot the shib with you guys. But first, kind of one of the hottest topics on Clippers Twitter is the fact that Kawhi Leonard looks even more like a tank than he did last season. At LGBT Baller wants to know, what's Kawhi's weight this season? How does that compare to last season? He looks big. So I couldn't find any real concrete info on this. He's listed at 229, but there's no way he's the same weight as he was last year, right?
No. You know, there could be a bunch of different factors. You know, like I want to say like maybe he's like a little bit leaner, but that's definitely not.
Nope. Yeah. He's just like big.
Cause I'm like, maybe it's, you know, an optical illusion and it's just, you know, he's just like gotten a little bit leaner or something, but no, I think he has to have gained at least 10 pounds. I don't know about much more. I don't know about much more than that, but I think he's probably in that 240, 250 range.
And I mean, you know, some of the pictures we've seen, like, yeah, he's been in maybe like a baggier shirt or something like that. But like, no, man, he looks way big. Even Batum said it. He said he's like doubled his volume, I believe was a translation I read, which is really funny. But yeah, he's probably close to 240 right now. We'll keep an eye on those official weights.
Well, yeah. And it looked like, I mean, dude, it looks like he just put in a lot of lower body work too. So yeah. I'm hoping that can help with some of his explosiveness, you know, due to some of the issues that he has with resting and the, you know, the degenerative condition. You know, we do see some times where it does seem like he is unable to play at the speed that he would like to.
Yeah.
And certainly there were times in that Raptors run where it like, you know, you had to wonder how much he had left in the tank. And then, you know, and then another game, he'd come completely back with that bounce. So hopefully that can be a little bit more consistent with this addition. You know, he's a guy who knows how to use his weight really well. So yes. I wouldn't think that it would be, I don't think that it, you know, it can only be beneficial.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. This isn't bad weight that he's gained. It doesn't look, it's not like, oh, Kawhi looks bigger. Clipper Zay at Clipper Zay on Twitter asks thoughts/expectations with the season around the corner. Preseason starts on Friday, which blows my mind. What are you guys most excited for and looking least forward to? I'm going to actually start with looking least forward to. It's already begun, which is the not going back to the shadows. The team, there's still just so much horrible press and energy around the team before the season starts. That was my least favorite thing to look forward to. Most thing, just tip off on opening night. I just can't wait.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I'm most excited for, I'm really excited to see the integration of the new guys. I think that there's a lot of wrinkles, even with the loss of JaMychal. There's some interesting things that we can put on the court. I'm really curious. This second unit has got me scratching my head a lot lately, and I'm really curious to see how these rotations are going to pan out. But, yeah, I mean, like Chuck said, I'm definitely excited for the just, you know, opening night in general. The thing I'm looking least forward to, man, is honestly just Paul George.
I
love him on the court. I have been a fan of his game for a long time. I did not think that we gave up too much initially to get him. And I think that, like I said, I think that he's going to be great on the court. His game is so smooth to watch offensively.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like it's just a pretty game to watch, but I cannot stand his persona. I cannot stand any, like, he almost puts his foot in his mouth, like every time he's like talking outside of, you know, like a team media thing. So I'm just going to have a lot of conversations about Paul George, and I'm not looking forward to that.
I mean, that's fair. I'm hoping he can back it all up. I'm excited to see the experimentation from Ty Lue. I'm excited to see an actual system. I'm excited to see Clippers basketball become an actual thing and not like it was last year where it was just give it to Kawhi and Paul George, right? Like, I'm excited to see an identity for this team offensively and hopefully defensively too. At non-biased NBA fan said, would you rather start the same lineup as last season or have Kawhi shift to the four and start Kennard so we have Morris's scoring capability off the bench? So in this scenario, we got Bev, Kennard, PG, Kawhi, and Zoo, and then the bench is Reggie, Lou, Batum, Mook, and Serge.
I mean, that sounds like a nasty bench.
Defensively, the bench, it's like, I mean, 3, 4, 5, pretty good defensively. 1 and 2, very not so much.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely does amp that up. But I got to say no to this, man. Morris, you know, he makes that starting unit, like at least last year, he made that starting unit the best defensively that it was. And I think, you know, we talked about this with staggering Kawhi and Paul George too, right? It's kind of a double-edged sword of, yes, it's nice to have one on the court at all times, but is that offsetting the potency that you get with both on the floor at the same time? You know, that's kind of how I feel with Morris in the starting lineup. It's like an embarrassment of riches. And there are, I do have to be honest, one criticism I have, there are like too many wings that technically all play the same position.
For sure. Yeah.
In that starting unit. But I still think, at least for the time being, you know, things change, they change, you know, that's unforeseeable, but at least for the time being, for me, you got to have Mook in that starting lineup.
I'm really excited to see, because we're going to see probably this, you know, we're going to see these lineups at some point during the season. Maybe it won't start the game. You know what I mean? Like, we've talked about first subs off the bench or whatever. But I mean, that 3-4-5 of Batum, Morris, and Serge, that's going to be fun to watch defensively whenever it happens. Like, whoever's at the 1 and 2, it's going to be great, because anyone at the 1 and 2 is going to be better defensively than either Reggie or Lou. So, like, yes, that's going to be a really nice lineup for the Clippers.
Yes, and I love the idea of, like, this being a rotation.
Definitely. Know, yeah.
And, you know, like I said in the last question, like, that's what I'm excited to see. I'm really curious to see Ty Lue throwing things at the wall, experimenting with how these rotations can kind of play out and finding optimal combinations of guys on the floor.
Yeah, and speaking of Batum, OTHLAC said, do you think we'll see some Batum back up 4 minutes? He's been primarily a 2 or 3 wing, but he's 6'9", and players typically move up, quote-unquote, to slower positions as they get older, like Sean Marion or Vince Carter, playing more of the four towards the end of their careers.
It's definitely a possibility. You know, once again, we still haven't seen how these rotations are going to play out. I still firmly like him at the three. I think he's a great perimeter defender. And offensively, I think that his game is more suited to the three.
I think we need him at the three more too,
just in terms of shooting. And, you know, our wing depth, you know, despite having so many wings in the starting lineup, after that it starts to get a little shaky.
It's Batum after that for the most part.
Definitely. So it'll depend on how rotations pan out, but I think until, you know, we see otherwise on court, that to me it makes sense to just keep running him at three. I don't know about using him in more post-ups or anything like that. So I think that, yeah, until we see otherwise, it makes the most sense for him to kind of just play that three type of role.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on to a little man named Lou Williams. Clippers Spencer says, what do you think / hope Lou Williams' numbers look like next season? Last season, he had 18 points per game on 14 field goal attempts. But ideally, I would like to see a system where the stars are prioritized and Lou has to pick his moments. I'm hoping for around 15 points per game on like 10 field goal attempts. That would be great. Clipper Spencer. If we didn't, because we had to rely on the bench a bunch last year, right? Like that was the whole thing. The year before that, we had the best bench maybe in history in terms of scoring. So I like that that efficient 15 points per game. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, look, man, Lou Will's game is what it is. That's not going to happen. I would like it too, but
yeah, very good point.
I think that he could improve the efficiency from that 18 points per game to 14. I don't know if it'll get quite that efficient. We'll see, but I guess the thing for me, that I just want to see him continue to pass at a high rate. And I think that to me goes along with the shot selection, you know, knowing, especially having even more weapons now that he has on the perimeter, knowing when to pick his spots and when to play his game and score, as well as, you know, being able to defer to teammates, which we have seen him having definitely an ability to do at a high level. So I'm personally more worried about that, like just continuing the playmaking on that second unit, because while we do have Kennard, and I mean, if you listen to the podcast, you know, I've been very hyped on him. I'm excited for the idea of what Kennard could provide on that second unit, but the health is still shaky. And Reggie, to me, has not proven himself to be as strong of a playmaker as Lou Will.
Definitely. Davey Neuerbauer asks, what are the top meatball lineups this year? If you're new to the show, the meatball lineup was something back in the glory days when the Clippers would very rarely play Gallinari at the five. It was very fun when it happened. We call it the meatball lineup. But this year, we're going to have – this is what Davey Neuerbauer likes. Luke, Lou, Batum, Pat, and Ibaka.
Ooh! First off, shout out David Neubauer. Way to bring up the meatball lineup. I love this. I'm liking what you got here with Luke, Lou, Batum, Pat, and Ibaka. The defense is a little questionable to me, so I might sub out Lou for Pat. You still have the outside shooting, but Pat to me, until something proves differently, he's not a consistent enough defender.
Yeah. Someone on Twitter was going at you for being so mean about Patrick Patterson. It was very funny.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. They had you recording. You were like, he just sucks at defense.
Fair enough. Fair enough. at me, I might answer.
I don't know if Pat's in my ideal meatball lineup.
Do you think that it was Pat's burner?
I don't think it was. I wish it was. Patrick Patterson, if you have a burner, please let us know. Just swap out like any of our fours for Patrick Patterson. I like this lineup, I guess. Like any other four, and I'm fine with it. And then closing this one out, at Clipperholics, which if you're listening to the show, you probably follow Clipperholics, wants to know, is Ibaka for sure the cutest Clipper, or does PG still own the title? This is something that they are very worried about on a weekly basis, I would say, over there at Clipperholics.
This is an ongoing bit from Clipperholics that I very enjoy. Basically, anytime someone is asking for questions about the Clippers, they want to know who the cutest Clipper is. And I got to say for this one, this is going to come down to fits for me. I think too strong.
Oh, then Serge wins.
What's that?
Then Serge wins.
We don't know yet. We haven't seen the fits yet for the season.
All right.
You can't go off past fits. Paul, look, before Paul George joined the team as a healthy player and was actually playing in games, he had an impeccable fit game. There was a lot of sort of rompers going on. There was some very interesting stuff. So I think for me, these are still the two strongest candidates. I'm currently giving the edge to Ibaka, but this is going to come down to fits for me.
That's a good call. I like fits with that. I think I'm going to have to wait on this one as well. Clipperholics, we will get back to you as soon as we get that done. Again, thank you everybody for the questions. You can send those into @LockedOnClips on Mondays. Coming up, we're just talking to the presser from today, getting hyped on Ty Lue and Lou Will. But first, Will, talk to me about Headspace.
All right. Well, life is stressful, as we all know, even under normal circumstances. But 2020 has challenged us with the most difficult times of our life. You need stress relief, and that goes beyond quick fixes, which I also know a thing or two about. You need Headspace. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies, so it has tangible benefits. It's got 600,000 five-star reviews and over 60 million downloads. The great thing about Headspace is they make it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA, all caps, one word, for a free 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. You won't regret it. Get your head right.
Absolutely. Thank you to Headspace, and welcome to pre-practice Clips Notes here on Locked On Clips. Also, tomorrow on Twitter, look out for a Clippers-centric poll to take part in our What You Say Wednesday segment. We just kind of ask some Clippers questions, see what people are thinking. But yeah, today we had Terrence Mann, Ty Lue, and Lou Will talking pre-practice. Terrence Mann, some interesting notes on here. It seems like we're just fully converting this young man into being a point guard.
Not it seems. We have been. That's been the plan since we drafted him. It's not a new development. And I think that he's certainly up for the challenge. We saw, kid nearly had a triple double, which is the only stat that matters in the NBA.
In the Sam Cassell game. Absolutely. That was great.
I don't know. I think that he's up for the challenge. At what capacity or where that fits into the rotation, who knows? Do you think Terrence Mann could play better defense than Reggie Jackson?
Absolutely. I think so. The distribution and the shooting is the only other issue, it seems like. He said he's been asked to work on catch and shoot threes more by the coaching staff, which I think a lot of people are psyched about. That's been kind of the issue with him. Not historically really a shooter, though. Even in college, he shot 40%, but he only took 2 threes a game his last year at FSU.
That's nearly 1 3 per game.
Very true.
So almost one a game.
So that's a lot of – that's a big thing to work on. But he's going to be getting, second and a half unit minutes running the point, right?
Totally. And here's the thing. The issue with this is that I'm sure it was in every scouting report. He was very hesitant to shoot. Even Absolutely. Coming into the bubble. And we did see him able to, transform that a little bit. But the thing with the catch and shoot threes is I'm not even expecting it or needing it to be at a high volume. You just have to have the threat of it doesn't even have to go in. It just has to look like it could go in.
Yeah. And just hit one early. Just hit one early.
Or just have a miss that's close, and fire it with confidence. And, I that just opens things up more for teammates. And that's the thing too, right? Like if we want his game to get better, he's going to need to be able to get to the rim and he's going to need to be able to distribute well. And having the threat of the threat of pulling up definitely helps that. So yeah.
How many do we want him to take a game? Like at the end of the season, if it's at like 3.5, I'm fine with it.
If it's at 2, I'm fine. Depending on the minutes load and what they look like, all this stuff is contextual. It's not just about the number. But if he's looking confident, as soon as he gets the ball in the hands and gets into the shot on a catch and shoot, that's all I need to see, man. Like if he has that kind of confidence, that's great. Because even like a half second of hesitation makes it not a reliable tool in your arsenal.
Absolutely not. We saw it with Shea, obviously, when he – like there literally be guys like yelling at him off the bench to be like, shoot it, and having a man a couple times too. So I think he's going to be fine. It's going to be exciting to see him develop that. He said he's been playing against Luke Kennard since high school, which is pretty crazy. And if you haven't looked up Luke Kennard's high school stats, he averaged like 40, like 10 and 8 with like 3 steals or something like that. He has the second most points in Ohio high school history ahead of LeBron James. So Kennard is like truly a high school legend, which is pretty interesting. He also talked about training with Fee, which is pretty cool. Said that Fee's getting a nice little press bump during this preseason.
Yeah, he definitely is. And Mann said that, Fee looks really locked in. He's been working hard and most importantly, getting better. When Mann was asked what getting better looks like for Fee, he said that Fee is shooting a lot more aggressively in the paint. He's getting to the post a lot more, working on his post game, which is something that's going to be important if he does want to play sort of that 4-5 role. Are we amped on this?
I am. I'm also, I just think expectation, Fee's getting talked up a bunch, and fans already thought really close to taking Trez's minutes. So I think it's kind of elevating expectations.
I don't think anyone legitimately thought that.
There's some, I'm talking about Twitter people, I will say that. But like, there's some people who were like, we got Fee, you know, that's fine. Like, I think it's good for Fee's confidence, but I just hope it translates to the court.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm excited for Terrence Mann this year. You know, like, there's going to be an actual system, which I think is going to help him a bunch. Like, when you're a rookie, you come into a doc type offense.
Maybe there's going to be an actual system. We need to talk about that in the Ty Lue press conference.
Let's talk about it.
So Ty Lue was up today. There was a lot of talk about the first practice. He mentioned energy. Energy was kind of brought up by almost every player. Which was great. And then he talked about sort of the defined roles that this illustrious coaching staff will have on the bench. Dan Craig is going to be primarily in charge of the defense. Kenny Atkinson will be on player development. Chauncey Billups he'll be the free roaming safety. He's going to kind of be on all
just
three.
Everything.
But I think, you know, Dan Craig being on the defense, I think that's a smart call. Obviously he took that Denver defense to one of the worst in the league to, you know, like average to above average.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's really solid. We keep hearing about from the organization, like this notion of what player development is, that it's, you know, not young guys. It's like this all encompassing
life
thing.
Skills.
and maybe that has to do with the Kenny Atkinson thing. Like maybe that's been an organizational sort of conversation, that we haven't been super privy to. So that all sounds great. He stressed teaching guys to play after the play. And this kind of goes into, I think, in a positive way, what Chuck is talking about with the system, being that, like, if, you know, after the play is made, if it doesn't, you know, if it breaks down, what is the next move offensively? Getting guys to spots where they're comfortable. So it kind of gets to a situation where everybody knows the spot that they're supposed to be after the play that's being executed. And I think that this is going to be a huge thing because I think that it was pretty clear offensively at times last year where the ball would get moving. But if they weren't able to like get penetration or get the shot that they wanted, it really stagnated. So I think guys having set spots is going to be great for the Zoo crowd out there. He thinks Zoo is going to have a big year. So all right, that's good.
Yeah, Zoo's been getting talked up quite a bit. I'm not sure. I mean, I think Zoo's probably going to put up higher numbers than he did last season, but there's so many guys on this team. Like, I think his development's almost kind of capped for this team specifically in terms of what impact he's going to have. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So
you think there's going to be a system or there's not going to be a system?
So I think there's going to be a system, but something that concerns me is due to COVID things, they haven't had like the typical team dinner that you would have coming into training camp. Mm-hmm. And apparently he's going to have a surprise and he's not going to tell the media how or when. And he plans to talk about the identity that he's bringing to the team. Once again, he will not be telling us how or when.
We don't need to know.
So I'm not going to say concerned. I'm not going to elevate it to that level. But I would say my concern is aroused.
Okay. I don't know what the hell that means.
Pre-concern.
Okay. Moving on to Lou Will, who unlike Will, Updike is not concerned. They asked him about trade rumors and he gave a great answer. He said, I just unplugged from basketball and I joined my family. He also said he's in control of his own destiny in this upcoming off season, which means I think he's probably just going to retire.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Obviously I think he could still contribute depending on the situation. He did not seem in a good mood to be in.
No, he did not.
I don't know if it was because it was an early morning thing, and he wasn't pumped on that, but he's normally like, you know, I wouldn't say he necessarily dislikes talking to the media, but he's kind of like a soft-spoken dude. But he's normally
a cool guy. He's not a
He normally has a very cool demeanor. He's coming a little hot. He's coming a little hotter this time.
Which, hey, maybe that's what we need this year. Talked about Trez, said business is business. He made a decision for himself, which, you know, makes sense. He's also psyched on him and Kennard being a good fit together, and I think they'll be a good fit together too, offensively. Maybe not so much on the defensive end.
Kennard just busts out the clamps?
I would love that, dude. Clamp Kennard all day. I would love to see that. We're going to have more notes for you guys, just kind of doing these like pre-practice notes on tomorrow's episode, of course. Hope you like them. Coming up, we're going to be talking the $900 million that the NBA raised in seemingly a day and a half to give to all the teams, as well as some new rest stuff. But first, got to give a shout out to Built Go. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. You can break through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall. Break through with Go every day. Easy to take 1.5-ounce packages. It's made from collagen protein, which is fast absorbing, so it gets in your system fast, plus easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. Beta alanine, some honey, little kick of caffeine. You get B6, B12, and the collagen protein, this is nice, promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. If you visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, all capital letters, one word, you'll get 30% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com.
Okay, so we're back with shavings, which is where we wrap up all the loose ends in the NBA and leading things off. Chris Haynes reported that there will be a new resting policy for this season where teams cannot – I mean, essentially the $100,000 fine is still in place.
At least.
For nationally televised games. Yeah, even if they're on a back-to-back. However, it seems like they have gotten a little looser on the restrictions for resting players on back-to-backs that are not nationally televised.
Yeah, but the easiest situation in this is just don't schedule primetime games on a back-to-back. Just don't do that.
I agree, but the only way to guarantee that is just to not have back-to-backs.
Okay, fine.
I agree with you, but like I just think if you're gonna have this practice, which is a bad practice, it's fair. Inevitable that you're gonna end up with games on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, and so the Clippers' first kind of crossroads with this is gonna be pretty early in the season, January, I guess midway through the season, halfway through the first half, whatever the hell we're doing this year. January 5th and 6th, the Clippers have a back-to-back against the Spurs and the Warriors. Spurs game, local broadcast. Warriors game on the road and an ESPN game. So interesting to see what's going to happen with that in terms of Kawhi or Paul George playing. It is important to remember, Miriam Swanson pointed this out on Twitter, Kawhi does have the exception. Last year they granted Kawhi the ongoing, I think it was patella injury. Like kind of, that was like kind of the reasoning that they gave.
Yeah.
But it's going to be weird to see how every team handles this, especially the Clippers. There's 72 games in 146 days for the NBA, and they don't want people to rest. But that's just not going to happen. Like, it can't.
Yeah. It's absurd. That, I mean, man, now that you bring that number up, 72 games.
Hardwood Proxys and tweeted that out. And I was like, whoa.
That is dizzying.
Yeah. That's a lot.
That's, whoa. So, man, now I'm nervous.
See?
I feel worse now.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, who cares if the Clippers get fined? Bomber can pay it. It's totally cool. But yeah, I mean, the NBA.
Speaking of fines and money not mattering.
Dude, okay. Every NBA team is getting $30 million to help cover the cost of losing fans. I had to subscribe to Sports Business Journal, or I can't remember what it was called. But the $900 million to be given to teams comes from notes issued by the league and the private placement market that typically includes large insurance companies and other institutional investors. So it's just Steve Ballmer.
Did you read this in Sports?
Yes, this was in Forbes. Is this just the owners getting this money? Who's getting this money? It's not the stadium workers, most likely. Like, it's not going to trickle down as historically these things usually do. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like,
yeah. Looking at the way that that stuff usually rolls out, I'm thinking this is going just straight to the owners.
I mean, and some owners need it more than others. You know, we joke about Ballmer, but you know, Tillman, for whatever his name is for the Rockets, needs $30 million, so he's probably not going to give it, you know, like to anybody who actually needs it, who works for the team. And you brought up a good point before we started recording. What the hell does the Players Association think about this?
Yeah. So, I mean, a big point of consternation for the NBA, the organization, was that they would lose out on up to $1 billion, they had said, if they were to delay the start of the season into January.
It's back. You know,
the Players Association like had to very begrudgingly agree to this deal that doesn't grant people a proper training camp. It doesn't grant people who played deep in the playoffs enough rest. And now all of a sudden there's just an extra almost $1 billion. Like, I just don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand where this is coming from. I don't understand why we bothered. I truly do not understand now why we're bothering to push 72 games into 146 days.
Like, yeah.
If money does not matter. So I just don't understand.
It's pretty crazy. I don't.
And if you're a billionaire out there and you want to teach me a thing or two, it's at Will Up
Day. Yeah, come through. If any, I don't know how many billionaires we have who listen to this pod, but it's probably more than one. Now, it's just kind of crazy. It also kind of weirdly got like swept under the rug. Like, it wasn't as big a news as I thought it was going to be today, that just every team is getting $30 million. But hey, you know, what do I know about millions of dollars? Evidently nothing.
I know absolutely nothing.
We're going to wrap this up with kind of a, I guess, kind of an upbeat thing. Andrew Greif put out a really interesting stat today that Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams played together for nearly 1,400 minutes last season, which is a lot.
Wow.
No other Clipper duo eclipsed 1,000. So we're seeing the most remade bench that you can probably kind of see, right? Like, I'm so excited to see what, and you know, a lot of that's because of Doc playing horrible rotations and stuff like that. You know, regular season slog, you got to put Trez in to soak up a bunch of minutes with Lou. It makes sense. Playoffs, not so much. But I'm so excited to see now what this bench lineup's going to look. There's going to be so much more versatility. We were so used to seeing the Trez Lou pick and roll. It worked so well. Obviously, why wouldn't you do it a bunch? But now it kind of forces the issue of having some other options.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, man. And I also think that this just ties into the thing that I'm hoping for the most out of this year, which is just like process and building good process and really making a team. You know, obviously, when you have a lot of new pieces, like last year, certainly, you know, the seismic changes on the Clippers team, it's going to take time to build that into something that's where it really needs to be at. And I hope that we can do that in a way that like makes this a stronger team and makes this a team that is, you know, enjoyable to watch on the court and, you know, like, and irons out some of those things that were issues last year that we can't continue to sweep under the rug.
Yes. As Lawrence Frank well said, I'm excited. I think my wanting to bash my head into the wall level is going to go down lower this year with Ty Lue as head coach.
See, I think you might be wrong there, but in a different way. I think
I'll
that,
take it.
I think that we might see some things. I think that the Clippers could get off to another slow start. I think that we could see some things kind of thrown at the wall that maybe aren't as effective. We could see some head-scratchingly aggressive defense at times.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, these are all kind of things that Ty Lue works out, and he's a person who's willing to refine his process. I think that this is the best assistant coach staff that he's ever worked with.
For sure. And familiarity's there.
He's a guy who's also willing to listen to people. So I think that there might be some frustrating moments and some potholes. And
But there'll be different potholes.
They will be different, yes. And we will at least, I mean, hopefully have somewhat of an assurance that they won't be present forever. You know, that we're yes. not just going to keep driving over the same pothole.
Yeah, exactly. That about wraps up Shavings. Wednesday's episode, we're going to be doing a What You Say Wednesday poll on Twitter. Like we mentioned, go ahead and vote on that. Look out for that on Twitter at Tuesday around like 10:30. I don't know. Getting hyped for the preseason game on Friday. It's terrifying that it's already that soon. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these people shout to the heavens to listen to us?
Please tell all your friends to listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. Please subscribe if you haven't already. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on all your services. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, once again, please subscribe. It really helps us out. If you like what we're doing, go ahead, leave a rating and review. If we see it, we'll definitely read it on air. And thank you so much for rocking with us, guys.
Yeah, it's been great. The season's almost here. It's here. Every team has $30 million fresh dollars to do whatever they want with. But yeah, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.